And now the Exit Coach Radio Show proudly presents the All-Star Review, a compilation of one-minute highlights from past guests. Hear more one-minute highlights and full interviews from these guests at ExitCoachRadio.com.
What are some of the factors that go into evaluating a business at any given time? We asked valuation expert Christopher Mercer.
It's one thing to say that your value is worth what a willing buyer and a willing seller will pay, but that same willing buyer and same willing seller won't pay the same thing in 2008 as they will in 2014, because in 2008 the world was full of uncertainty that caused financing to dry up and it was enormously difficult to sell. Some of your listeners that are listening to this need to think about the fact that they need to be thinking of an orderly transition of management and ownership, because when bad things happen to your company, you lose all flexibility in terms of ownership and management transition. So take care of those things now while you can.
Being in business is inherently risky. We all know that. But what are some of the most common mistakes that business owners make and their potential solutions? We asked for comments from attorney Mayar Ghassemian.
One of the important mistakes is not having a corporation or LLC or another form of entity that would limit their liability in case they get sued. I have seen a lot of companies that do this, and it's very prevalent in the construction industry. If they are around for a while and they don't have an entity, they are going to be sued sometimes, especially in construction. And what happens is, and they put their own personal properties in danger because they don't have an entity that would protect them.
What are some of the important factors that go into a professional business valuation? We asked expert Roger Winsby.
Valuation is really about a sense of future opportunities offset by the risks. And if you don't really think those through as it relates to each individual company, you won't really understand whether you might be above average on that multiple or below average, but it's going to be quite rare when you're right on the average or the median. It's quite an issue that comes up in terms of understanding, you know, the business and being able to document your findings. Valuation is really about future, and as much as, you know, people want to say, well, you know, here are my retained earnings and here's what I've done, and that's, you know, very important context, but ultimately if someone wants to buy the business, they're buying the future opportunity and weighing that against the future risks.
Hi everyone, it's Bill Black, the Exit Coach from the Exit Coach Radio Show. You know, one of the biggest questions I get on the show is, what exactly goes into a business exit plan, and when should I start creating mine? Well, I always tell people that the best time to start was 5 years ago, but the next best time is now, because you never know when you might need it. So we put together a free report that describes what an exit plan is and what you should know. You can get it free by texting exit plan with no spaces to 44222. That's exit plan to 44222. Again, text exit plan to 44222.
Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Hey everyone, thanks so much for joining us today. My guest is a repeat guest we've had many, many times here on Exit Coach Radio Show. This guest's mission is to touch the lives of his audiences with the latest and most objective scientific information about their most important asset, about your most important asset, your health. Dr. Jerry Kornfeld has been on many, many radio, TV shows. He's given speeches all over. He is a Vistage Worldwide speaker, and that means that he is the top of his game when it comes to the topics he talks about. And so today we're going to talk about vitamins and vitamin supplements. Dr. Jerry, welcome back to the show.
Hey, it's great to be back, Bill. I'm very pleased to be here today.
Very good to have you, Dr. Jerry. What have you been up to? Tell us about what you've been up to. I know you're always busy. You're telling people about your book, your 100-year heart, and giving talks and speeches. What's new with you?
The thing that is really keeping me busy, has been over several months, is there's a group out in Calabasas, California called the Savvy Seniors, and it's a fantastic group. They do a whole educational program similar to an extension from one of the major schools. And I've been doing this talk about living to 100 with quality for them, and they keep on asking me to come back. So I'm now in my fifth session with them doing the repeat talk. And that's keeping me really busy because the response to that talk is phenomenal. I address audience of boomers and seniors. And the question is, I do it in a series of 4 to 5 lectures, how you can best deal with your life to keep you alive for at least 100 years. And as the statistics change, as we get more and more information, I'm seriously thinking about changing the title to Living to 120 with Quality. Because more and more information is coming in that's making me feel very confident that the next couple of generations, children born then, routinely are going to live to at least 100. So that's what's really keeping me very busy, and I'm available to do those talks for all groups. I really love doing that talk.
You know, and you've told us many times that it's you're more interested in the people living to that age with quality. And
that's the key, Bill. The two words, absolutely, with quality.
That means a daily vigil and daily activities to make sure that you're taking care of your body on a daily basis, just like you take care of your vehicle. You know, you watch and make sure you change that oil and do the right things for your vehicle. Your body is your vehicle here, right?
You got it. And remember DEA. I mentioned it now the last 2 or 3 shows. The summary of it all. I mean, I want you to hear the talk. But DEA is the secret. The D, remember, stands for diet, going on the proper diet. The E stands for exercise, and the A is attitude. That's what it boils down to. And I go into detail on all those things. Yes, it's absolutely a very exciting area.
Now, what you just mentioned about living to age 120 isn't that far-fetched. You know, the life insurance business has now creates insurance policies that go into the 120s, where they used to say the end of a life insurance policy, a while back it was age 95, and then they stretched it to 100. Now they write policies that last to age 121 and 125. So you know, these are the actuaries that they know something about numbers and future and risk.
They're picking up what I talk about. There's hundreds of millions of dollars being poured into research by the Silicon Valley millionaires, or billionaires, I should say, who've sold their companies, and now they are directing most of that money into this research. It's a gigantic, gigantic, exciting area. And as I said, I'd love to share the stories about that. Great, great area. Yeah, the world's changing, really changing.
Now, of course, one of the things you talk about besides diet, exercise, and attitude is enhancing your well-being and your taking things that can supplement what you might be missing in your normal diet. And that's what today we wanted to talk a little bit about, vitamins and what's good, what's bad, what's a myth, and what's not. So what can we do about that? We have so many choices, and you know, walk into a vitamin section of a store, and it's just rows and rows and rows. What do we do?
Okay, very, very, very important. I would say of all the questions that are asked in the Ask Dr. Jerry segment, there's just no question. Should I take vitamins? Do I need vitamins? Is the most frequently asked question I get. The vitamin industry is a gigantic industry. It's at least a $28 to $30 billion industry with sales of over 110 million. And you look at the demographic of the people who take vitamins. It's really very interesting. I'm sure your audience fits into majority of those people. First of all, they're higher education level. Second of all, they are in a higher economic level. Third, they're generally very healthy. And here's an interesting one. Majority who take them are females. And if a male takes it, it's primarily because his wife or person that he lives with is encouraging him to do it. So that's the group.
Yeah.
That's the group that's into that drugs very poorly. So here's the question. We as doctors are asked about this all the time. And as I know, as you know, I've explained to you this many times before, we tried not to deal with anecdotal information. In other words, if I give you a piece of advice, I want to make sure I've got objective science to support it. So a lot of research has been done looking into vitamins. Do we need them? Do we get enough of them in our diet? Should research be done? Well, many studies have been done. So let me keep you up to date. Recently, the Annals of Internal Medicine, a very, very prestigious journal, did a study covering more than 450,000 people, and they found that multivitamins had no beneficial effect on mortality. Now, I'll get into how these studies are done in a second, but that's one of the studies. But here is something that many of your audience may remember a couple of years ago. This was a major headline on every TV show. The headline was, "Enough is Enough. Stop wasting your money on vitamins and mineral supplements." And that came out from the medical profession, who were tired of people taking all these pills that they didn't think were doing any good. And those studies went on to say that most can get their nutritional supplements from a healthy diet. Well, the question that now comes down to, if you look at the studies, if you look at the audiences that they've done the studies on, there's always been a bias. They've always looked at populations who really did not were not appropriate. For example, they did one study on a group of healthy doctors who ate a healthy diet and obviously had no need for supplements. And they drew the conclusion, well, they don't need supplements. So the question is, where do I stand? Where do most doctors stand? The argument that if you eat a healthy diet, you don't need them. Well, the trouble is, how many people truly eat a healthy diet? But as I told you, I'm just wanting to do no harm. So I don't want to be able to give out advice that's going to be based on anecdotal without science. So I look at my patients, and I look at those who need to be taking vitamins, and I start thinking to myself, okay, what am I going to do to help them? And the answer is very, very simple. I'm going to look at them individually. So everybody in this audience, we're going to look to see what your lifestyle is. I want you to start thinking about your own diet. If, in fact, you don't think you are eating correctly, or if, in fact, you think, well, I'm not sure, but I want to be able to change it, well, then this is going to be of interest to you. So right away, we all realize that there are certain vitamins that we have to have. Vitamin D, we're now talking a lot about vitamin D, and I'll get into this one. Very important because of rickets. Vitamin A, does help vision. Vitamin C, scurvy. Remember the study about the British sailors, scurvy. And then B12, there's an anemia called pernicious anemia, which B12 is very, very important. So those are all things that we look at. So let's get into vitamins. Very important that we start off by realizing that there are two types of vitamins. There's what we call a water-soluble vitamin, and there's what we call a fat-soluble vitamin. It's important to know that because water-soluble vitamins, if you take a little too much of them, the chances are you will urinate them out. Most people, I'm sure, have had the experience of taking something with a lot of B-complex in it and then noticing the urine was a bright yellow. That's the body excreting it because it's water-soluble. It's dissolved easily. The body gets rid of it. The other side is the fat-soluble. These are the ones that your body also needs, but they have a potential of causing harm because your body cannot excrete them as readily. So the water-soluble, B-complex, and C. The B-complex vitamins and vitamin C are water-soluble. The fat-soluble, and note this, folks, these are the ones that you got to worry about. Vitamins A, vitamin D, and vitamin E are the fat-soluble. And if you take too much of them, the body cannot absorb it, it doesn't excrete it, and you get something called hypervitaminosis. Hypervitaminosis. Well, you start thinking about all of these vitamins. Should I take them? Should I not take them? There is a risk to everything that you put in your mouth, whether it be an aspirin or a vitamin. There's a potential of an allergic reaction. There's a potential of it interacting with other pills that you take. The water-soluble are relatively safe when it comes to that, but they do have risk. Let's go to the B-complex. One of the ones of the B complex that I strongly recommend, especially for pregnant women, is folic acid. We know that folic acid plays a very, very important role during the development of the fetus in fetal abnormalities. So you want to make sure that you're taking folic acid. The other thing with the B-complex folic acid, we have an entity now in medicine that we call homocysteine. You may have heard it. You may have been tested for it by your doctor as an indicator of heart disease. Homocysteine levels do play some role as an indicator. Well, if your homocysteine level is elevated, folic acid would lower that. So that's a very beneficial thing. The other B vitamin that I talk about in the B complex, the whole B complex, is the B12. Again, the body eliminates it if you have too much of it. A lot of people like B12. A lot of people go to doctor's offices to get a shot of B12. Many doctors feel, well, you know, it's really not doing you any good. B12 primarily is for pernicious anemia, but a lot of people think it makes them feel better. Well, it does no harm. My general consensus, if it's not going to hurt you and it makes you feel better, I have no problem with it. Well, a lot of people use B12 for shots. We have no science to support outside of pernicious anemia that it does much. We do know that B12 is a very important vitamin for people who are on vegetarian or vegan diets because they don't eat any meat at all, and meat is a major source of B12. So I strongly suggest if anybody in this audience is a vegetarian or a vegan, that they make sure they supplement B12. And usually I recommend 1,000 milligram B12 capsule a day to take care of that. Also, there are certain nutritional disorders. And we're thinking that B12 may even play a role in the neurological aspect of Alzheimer's. So when people come in with signs and symptoms of Alzheimer's, the first thing we do is get B12 levels. So again, it's a water-soluble, one of the ones I recommend. So in general, as vitamins, the B-complex generally are pretty safe. Then we have vitamin C, another water-soluble. I remember Linus Pauling, the great biochemist who took like 20,000 milligrams a day. The recommended dose is 500 to 1,000 milligrams. He felt that was going to help his immune system keep him free of disease. Unfortunately, there are side effects because it is an acid, ascorbic acid, and it can cause some gastrointestinal problems. Also, there's some research that's indicating that high doses are also associated with prostate cancer, and it may interfere with the blood clotting. So vitamin C, if you're going to take it, you will also want to do it as an antioxidant because also a very good antioxidant. Make sure you don't take more than 1,000 milligrams a day. Okay, so that's a brief summary of the B-complex. The ones that I recommend are the folic acid, the B12, and the vitamin C.
I have a quick question for you on the homocysteine test. Is that something... I don't recall seeing that when I've had my test with my doctor. Is that something we should ask for to predict heart disease as a blood test?
Okay, it was very popular for a while, but it sort of went out of popularity. It was an indicator, as cholesterol is an indicator of the potential. So it cannot hurt to get a homocysteine level done. How significant it is when it comes to the others, it's not that great. But if it is elevated, it's so simple to resolve just by taking folic acid. So, I would ask for it. I would ask for it, yeah. All right?
Okay. And that was interesting. Your comments about vegetarians should take more B12, that was an interesting comment, I thought, too. And it sounds like B12 is good all over. It helps it could help you maybe with potential mental disorders like Alzheimer's, and it helps vegetarians get what they need by to supplement their diet as well.
Absolutely. That's a major problem. Many, many vegetarians are not aware of the fact that they are not getting much B12 because they're not eating any meat. So I strongly urge anybody who is in that world, who is a vegetarian or vegan, that they make sure they supplement the B12. Very, very. Also, all kinds of neurological problems. B12 has a very, very important role in our neurological system. So it's one of the ones that I suggest.
Very good.
Let me get on now to the fat solubles.
Yes, sir.
Vitamin A, very, very important, fat soluble. And unfortunately, it's taken too much. And you can get a serious problem to it. So you got to be careful. No more than 25,000 units a day of vitamin A. It's good for the vision, but it can be toxic to the liver. And I had a very interesting experience where I had a patient when I was at the county hospital who came in when they were jaundiced, yellow. We see a lot of homeless alcoholics. They have cirrhosis. That's a common thing. So I was working in the emergency room as an intern. The guy came in. He was yellow. The first thing I thought was he was called HBD, has been drinking, and I called him an alcoholic. Well, the resident came along and asked me to do some tests. I did them. Turned out the guy had found a trash can behind a drugstore where they threw out old vitamin A's, and he took too many, and he had hypervitaminosis, turned his whole body yellow. You got to be careful. It's no more than 25,000 units a day because it's fat-soluble. Next one is vitamin E, fat-soluble. Some studies now about too much of it, again, in prostate cancer. They're looking at vitamin E also in chronic diseases, what role it has to play. It is a very potent antioxidant. And I suggest if you're looking for antioxidants, you take it, but I would suggest not going in more than 200 units IUs a day. But it's a very, very potent antioxidant. And the last one is vitamin D. And that's the one we're hearing so much about today. Vitamin D is involved with the, we use it a lot with calcium and vitamin D, especially for osteoporosis. But now we're looking at vitamin D in chronic illnesses. They have discovered that vitamin D may be playing a role in Parkinson's disease. They're discovering through research that patients with low vitamin D levels have about two times more the incidence of death earlier than those with the highest levels. Now, this is new research, but it's fascinating when they're looking at what role vitamin D is playing. So it plays a role in Parkinson's, according to this research. It plays a role in mortality. We have a major problem now because we don't get much sun. Sun is our major supplier of vitamin D, but because of the potential of skin cancer, melanoma, and the sun, we are being told to avoid the sun. So we're not getting a lot. So we have to take it in our foods or in our supplements. So what I recommend, and I recommend this for generally, get your vitamin D level checked. If it's normal, great. If it's low, supplement. If you have low vitamin D, supplement, and I recommend 1,000 international units a day. But get your vitamin D level checked before you do anything else. That is very important. Okay, now I've given you a brief summary in a limited amount of time. I have not gone into all detail, but I've given you the synopsis. The fat-soluble, the water-soluble, the B-complex, the folic acid, very, very, very important. The vitamin C and the fat-solubles, A, D, and E. Because in the time left, I would be remiss. And I'm not saying your audience is really attuned to this, but most of my audiences, when I speak to business groups, are very excited about this topic. And we're talking about supplements, and we're talking about antioxidants. Now we're going to talk about red wine. Is it beneficial? I think there's little interest in this subject. I don't want to get into the situation, a little disclaimer, that I don't want to tell your audience if they do not drink alcoholic beverages, they should start doing it. I'm going to give you the science objectively of the value of red wine. I'll do it as brief as I can because I know time is running out. Okay?
Okay.
Take a few minutes and I'll do this. Okay, for many years, we have known that moderate intake of alcohol does play a role in cardiovascular disease. I get into all that with my book, Your 100-Year Heart. I get into all the fact that alcohol does improve your HDL levels, but of course how much you take is important. So research is now strongly urging and suggesting that one of the best ways to get the alcohol and the beneficial effects of the alcohol is through red wine. We know that in the skin of the red grape, there's a very potent antioxidants. Have I spoken about antioxidants, Bill, on this segment?
Just briefly, Dr. Jerry, you've talked about the fact that it's okay to drink a couple glasses of red wine if you're a male and one if you're a female, I think, is what the guidelines were.
Yeah, okay, because antioxidants are absolutely very, very important. I urge everybody to make sure that they're getting enough antioxidants in the diet. But when it comes to the red wine, the skin of the red wine has something in it called a phytochemical. And it turns out that phytochemical is what is the beneficial antioxidant that is doing the benefit. Now, all these studies came from France, because the French have this great paradox. They drink high amounts of wine, but they have a horrible diet. They eat foods that are very high in fats, the foods we tell our people in this country not to eat, but yet they have a lower incidence of heart disease than we have. That's the paradox. Well, it turns out that the research has demonstrated that red grape, and by the way, this is only the red wine, not the white. The white wine doesn't have this phytochemical. There's a red grape has a phytochemical in it called resveratrol. And you may have heard about resveratrol. It has been publicized on a lot of medical shows, on TV shows, as being a great antioxidant and does good. The problem is that all the research has indicated that the resveratrol is beneficial, but it was beneficial. The studies were done on rodents, on the hearts of rodents. Now, we know it's a good antioxidant. We know it's beneficial. So people say, well, if it's working in the heart of rodents, I'm going to take it. The problem is you have to drink gallons of the red wine in order to get the same beneficial effect that it had on the rodents. Now, it's sold over the counter. It is something that you can buy, and I don't think it's going to do you any harm. A lot of people take it on a routine basis, but it's all part of the benefit. So the bottom line is that red wine does have beneficial effects. And yes, I spoke to you about a glass for women, a couple of glasses for men. And by the way, I don't know if I told you, I frequently am asked by people in my audiences, if they say, hey, Doc, if I don't drink at all during the week, can I save it up for the weekend? No, you can't save it up for the weekend. You can't save it up for the weekend. So the bottom line is a glass of wine a day. If, again, I'm not telling you to drink. If a day you want to have a glass of red wine a day for women because the metabolism is different, and up to a couple of a day. Now, for those of you who do not drink alcohol at all, I've been asked, well, how about if I ate the grapes? You would have to eat bushels of grapes to get the equivalent dose. But grape juice is beneficial. The problem with grape juice is there's a lot of sugar in grape juice. Okay, I got it all in, Bill. I feel like I accomplished my goal.
Fantastic. You know, you always make it so interesting to learn about things, and you give us such great insights as to the vitamins overview was fantastic. I mean, just like we've talked in so many different episodes. So I want to remind you all, you can find more information about Dr. Jerry at AskDrJerry.com, or you can email him at KJBKorn, KJBKORN, at AOL.com. If you have questions about yourself, about your family members, about if you need a speaker, get in touch with Dr. Jerry. Again, go to AskDrJerry.com. It's just fascinating stuff. And again, he has a book for sale online via Amazon called Your 100-Year Heart. If you want to live long and prosper, you want to read this book. So, Dr. Jerry, thank you so much once again for helping us. You truly embody your mission, which is to touch the lives of your audiences with objective, scientific, and helpful information about people's health. So thank you again so much for joining us today.
It has been my pleasure, and I look forward to doing it again, and thank you for inviting me.
All right, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back after this. Please stay with us.
You're listening to one of many shows on ExitCoachRadio.com. We're interviewing advisors, authors, and thought leaders for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. If you'd like to be a guest on any of our shows, go to guest.exitcoachradio.com. ExitCoachRadio.com, Come listen for a minute.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Hey everybody, it's Bill Black, the Exit Coach from the Exit Coach Radio Show. One of the questions I get asked the most is, how do I grow the value of my business? I'm so busy working in it, I need to work on it. So we've created a special report for you on 10 tips to grow the value of your business. Just text the word DRIVERS to 44222 to get a special free report right to your inbox. That's DRIVERS to 44222. Text DRIVERS to 44222.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.
Hi, everyone. It's Bill Black, the Exit Coach from the Exit Coach Radio Show. You know, one of the biggest questions I get on the show is, what exactly goes into a business exit plan, and when should I start creating mine? Well, I always tell people that the best time to start was 5 years ago, but the next best time is now, because you never know when you might need it. So we put together a free report that describes what an exit plan is and what you should know. You can get it free by texting exit plan with no spaces to 44222. That's exit plan to 44222. Again, text exit plan to 44222.
Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for